people of Earth, how are you?
Pop Culture Meltdown.
It's episode 3. It's Pop Culture Meltdown. It's Chris Libertini. Across from me, Lou Pellegrino.
Yes, sir.
Also known as Sweet Lou.
Yes, I'd like to be referred to as Sweet Lou on this show. That has been my on-air name.
Love it. Coming up on the show, we have a bite with Bachelor. We talked to Bachelor about God knows what. We talked to him about football, Pluto. We talked to him about
his football career.
His football career, for God's sakes.
Which I didn't know existed.
Yeah, you got to tune in for that. It's unbelievable. Listen further down on the podcast. But let's get to the craziest thing that I've seen today. And we record this on Tuesdays, so it drops on Wednesday. But two of my worlds, Lou, are colliding. There's Doctor Who.
Yep.
And then there's Star Wars.
Which is my world.
So these two worlds are colliding. Why are they colliding?
I got a bad feeling about this.
Because a former doctor in Doctor Who, now it's a woman, which is the 13th doctor. Awesome. I believe I'm right on that. 13 was now a woman. She's going to kill it. She's going to do a great job. The first episode is called A Woman That Fell From Earth. And obviously, you know, who's the man that fell from Earth?
David Bowie.
Thank you very much for coming. Lou Pellegrino gets
Come
a gold star, baby. So she's going to kill it. But the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith, who was also in the movie Terminator, if you remember, is now going to be in the new Star Wars. They say he's got a big role.
Great.
So
How great would it be if it was like Doctor Who and he just shows up in like the cantina and
that would be
on Mos Eisley?
Right, exactly. He just comes in and he starts like doing Doctor Who things. I don't know. I think it could be really crazy because, you know, they usually have the British guys and the guys from London as bad guys because they can kind of channel it a little better.
They're a little bit, right. But Alec Guinness, though, Ben Kenobi.
It's a very good point. But that's one in how many?
Oh, of course.
You know, you see all these guys.
Three.
But, yeah,
he was
right.
In three movies.
So
Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson were good guys,
that's
too.
That's a good point.
Although Liam Neeson, is he Scottish?
He could be,
I believe
he might be. As they say, he's from the north.
Or is he Welsh?
I don't know. Yeah, they say he's from the north, but there's lots of norths.
Yes.
So Matt Smith, he made it big on Doctor Who.
Oh, he's Northern Ireland, excuse me.
Northern Ireland, there you go. So he was on The Crown, and now he's going to be in Star Wars, the last Star Wars movie in this trilogy, in this saga.
It's going to be epic.
It's going to be epic, but does anybody care? Is anybody going to still watch Star Wars? Star Wars broke my heart for what they did in the last episode with The Last Jedi and what they did with Luke. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I think they're just trying to go as pop culture as possible. Hey, this guy's in it. Don't you want to listen? Don't you want to watch for this guy?
See, but I think what they're also trying to do is I think they're trying to usher in the new breed of Star Wars actor and actress.
Okay.
Okay, because if you think about it, when Star Wars came out in 77, the two most well-known people in the movie are Peter Cushing, Grand Moff Tarkin, and Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Everyone else was kind of unknown.
Kind of like a no-name. Yeah.
You know, Carrie Fisher, we all know who her parents are.
Right.
But I believe that might have been like her breakthrough, if not first role. Mark Hamill was not a household name.
No. And he actually Mark Hamill was playing the villain before he even played Luke. In every show he was ever in, he was in TV shows like Serials for like the month or the week.
Right, right, right.
He was always a villain.
And Harrison Ford, I have to look at my dates and I'm kicking myself that I don't remember, but... You know, he was in American Graffiti, and then he was also working as a carpenter.
Amazing.
And then he landed the gig as Han Solo. Then, of course, he went on to, you know, Indiana Jones.
Of course.
And what's the other movie that he was in? Blade Runner.
You know? Tremendous.
And I think what they're doing now is, look, I mean, you hate to say it, and this is an age discrimination, but unfortunately, Carrie Fisher's no longer here. Mark Hamill is getting up there in age. Mm-hmm. So is Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they want to do it anymore. That's the only reason I think Han Solo was killed off.
Well, Han Solo wanted to be killed in Empire Strikes Back. And they said, no, we can't do it. He said, no, I want to be killed. Empire Strikes Back. I'm out of this. Come on, just hang in for one more. So he hung in for Jedi.
He's not even in Jedi that much, if you think about it.
Right.
I mean, he is, but, and I know the movie's not about him. It's about Luke and the turmoil with Darth Vader and turning Vader to the good side and the Emperor and the rebuilding of the Death Star. But if you think about it, okay, he's in the carbonite. I'm trying to think of his scenes where he's in it, like not a lot, but his main scenes.
Right.
He's in the carbonite. Mm-hmm. Boosh, the bounty hunter, lets him out. It's Leia in disguise, obviously. I'm not going to walk through the entire movie with you. But the Jabba Palace scene, the Sarlacc pit scene, Then when they all the rebels get together and, you know, they
on
talk
the
about
oh yeah,
when
yeah
they,
what the,
and
yes.
when they talk about what the next mm-hmm. role the next mm-hmm. move is, mm-hmm. then they go to the planet Endor.
Yep.
And then
in the planning site, you get to see Wedge Antilles,
right?
Who's progressed in the fight,
right? Yes. And you know, then there's the battles on Endor,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the end of the movie.
That's it, where he's hanging out, and him and Leia look out, and you know, Luke is getting force ghosted,
right?
You know
of
what
course.
I mean?
Although what really pissed me off, and I know a lot of people have probably talked about this to death already,
when they changed the
because Hayden Christensen's mm-hmm, character shows mm-hmm. up. Like, no, that's not what he looked like when he died. That's not what Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker looked like when he died.
Yep.
It's not.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they change, you know, that's the
What's
one
next?
Thing.
They get rid of Ben Kenobi and they start
what?
Putting in...
We're going to get into a conversation like this because I know we're going to have my buddy Seth Everett
okay.
come on as a guest. And Seth is very big in the superhero Marvel Comics, DC Comics world, has a couple of podcasts of his own, one called, Hall of Justice, which is a pretty cool podcast. But I have to say, he's the perfect person to vent all of these ideas and thoughts to, because I know there's people out there who probably have had the same things and other podcasts that address this, but I want my voice to be heard. And I'm tired of watching Return of the Jedi and it not be the classic Return of the Jedi.
Agreed.
When you go to Jabba's palace and you see Sny Snoodles and the Max Rebo band and Droopy McCool playing, if you don't know who those people are, you will have no idea what I'm about to talk about. But Sy Snoodles is the singer that is performing at Jabba's Palace. Max Rebo is the big dough-looking thing yep. that's gray and brown. And Max, that's Droopy McCool, who's playing like the clarinet.
Yep.
Max Rebo is the blue guy that looks like an elephant.
And they were the Max Rebo band.
That is playing the keyboard, and that's the Max Rebo band.
Amazing.
But in the new versions of Jedi,
they're huge on Tatooine.
They changed.
Huge.
I'm sure they are. Yeah, they sold out the beacon
that's
out
right.
in at Tatooine. The beacon at Tatooine.
Love it.
But when you watch the newer versions of these movies, they change the entire
yeah.
song.
They're just shitting all
like,
over
no.
our childhood.
It's like,
what are you doing?
Yeah. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't stop, and that's the stuff that annoys me. And then at the end, when you know they finally blow up the second Death Star, now all of a sudden they have that scene where they're showing the rejoicing all around the planet.
And they
and
changed
all that.
The music.
And they changed the music.
What are you doing?
I want the original
yeah.
stuff.
Dun, dun.
Yes, absolutely. Where they're playing, where they're using the stormtroopers' helmets as bongo drums,
yeah, exactly.
and drums, and they changed that too. And it's
Horrible.
Like, give me a break. It's
Horrible.
Like, come on. Thankfully, you know, I'm probably one of the few people who still has like a DVD and Blu-ray player, but I have my old, you know, I have my old DVDs that when I pop it in, the changes are still not happening
Love
there
it.
Yet.
Love
so,
it. That, yeah, that's like the first enhanced
right.
one that they came
you,
out
you know,
with.
But it's just like sometimes. Look, change is good. I'm all for change and advancement, and the technology is fantastic. But every once in a while, it's like watching a sporting event. And when you see the Miami Dolphins, and I'll use them as an example because I love their throwback uniforms, or even the New York Mets when they go to the 86 uniforms and they have the piping down the side mm-hmm. and the thick blue stripe with the orange on the sides of that. I love it when teams go throwback. Sometimes throwback is a good thing.
Yeah, reminds you of times when your dad took you to the movies or your dad took you to the game or whatever
yep.
it is.
I'm a huge, as I know you go to see 311 a lot in concert, I'm a huge U2 fan.
There you go.
And when U2 hit the 90s, they went all crazy with their stage production.
Mm-hmm.
Their stage production now, it's good and it's great and it's a fantastic show, but they've scaled it back so much that it's been, you know, absolutely amazing that... You know, they've scaled it back and it's real and raw now.
Well, we definitely got to check it out, Lou. All right, coming up, he's just walked into the studio. It's A Bite with Bachelor with none other than John Bachelor.
And now it's time for news on Pop Culture Meltdown. It's A Bite with Bachelor, starring John Bachelor. Let's eat food and get knowledge.
Pop Culture Meltdown. It's A Bite with Bachelor. We have John Bachelor sitting in the studio. And today, we are going to talk about a bevy of subjects, and we're going to start with...
We're cheersing
chocolate milk. John Bachelor, cheers to you, sir.
Cheers.
Looks like Ovaltine.
Yes.
Cheers.
Mm.
Cheers.
We've got some chocolate milk, and we've got
brownie bites.
John Bachelor, what are your thoughts on brownie bites and chocolate milk?
You're making people hungry.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. I avoid talking about food after 9 o'clock at night. That's just not fair. And whenever it comes up,
Yep. It's a laissez-faire moment.
I figure, all right, fine. We can't deal with this. It's the elephant in the room. I have to mention it.
I love it. But are you saying at that point you can't say no to the chocolate, or are we a fan of chocolate?
No, it's just that I moving food into a broadcast
right.
is a threat to the listener.
Because it inhibits the communication of said broadcaster.
Because it sends them to the refrigerator.
That's a good point. So moral of the story is that, John, no eating in the studio.
Yes.
No eating. Now, John's a big fan of sports. We talk in the back office over here all the time as he's about to get to do his national show. And we were just wondering, we obviously know you're a fan of baseball. We'll get to that in 1 second. But what is your favorite? Football just started last week. So it's week two. Do you have a favorite football team at all?
This is a tough topic for me.
Okay.
Right. I played football. I played football in high school. I played football in college.
Amazing.
And
what position?
I was a linebacker and an end, and I had a lot of concussions, a lot. And we bragged about them in the 1960s.
Sure.
And I don't like what I've learned about concussions and contact with football.
And everything with the CTE.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I don't like it, and I've turned away from National Football League. I don't like thinking about it because I'm not sure what I did to myself, and I'm not sure what's going on right now with young people across the country.
It's a great
point. Not sure.
Yeah, parents are not putting their kids into the youth football programs right. like they were.
Yeah, I don't want to preach it. I just know that I can remember in 1966, big high school football game. I don't remember half of it, and that was a point. That was a bragging point. You know, because we won the game and you don't remember half of it because right. you played very hard.
Right.
That's not the right issue.
Agreed.
Right.
No, I mean, I know how I feel sitting in the stands as a fan, oof. Knowing that I could recall almost every big moment of every big game. And we're recording this on, you know, September 11th on Tuesday, 2018. And I can still vividly see Mike Piazza's home run. We've seen the highlight of it, I mean, 9 million times mm-hmm. over the years. But I lived in Chicago. I moved to Chicago right after September 11th, and I can remember being at the first game, Yankees-White Sox, at, I believe it was still called Comiskey Park, maybe it was U.S. Cellular Field at that time, and just seeing the banners of New York, Chicago's behind you, we love New York, and it was just so emotional. Lee Greenwood came out and sang God Bless the USA, and I remember just like as the national anthem's being sung, and we won't even get into the national anthem issue now, but I remember like tears streaming down my face that people are like, are you okay? And it's like, I'm from New York. I just moved here like 5 days ago. And that was like, you know, four days after September 11th. And right. it was just, well, not 3 or 4 days after, but I moved to Chicago 4 days after September 11th. And it was just so emotional and so just like, wow. But, you know, not being able to remember a high school football game where if you watch movies like Varsity Blues, they say, you have to remember this moment for the rest of your life. You have to play your heart. And then to hear what John is talking about, it's just very, very...
And I don't think the story of concussions has been solved.
I would agree with you.
I know the recommendations. There's lots of medical science. There are lots of NFL veterans and high school and college veterans talking about it. But we're still within one generation of that kind of trouble.
Of understanding
NFL didn't get big until the 1960s, mm-hmm. so we're 50 years later, and we'll learn more.
And even in baseball, John, you know, they have now, somebody gets concussed, there's now a 10-day concussion rule.
Right, and that's a good rule.
Shane Green, I think, on the Mets, got a concussion. Was that his name, Shane Green, the right fielder?
Sean Green got a concussion,
okay. And then they put him on a plane.
No, that was Ryan Church.
Ryan
Church who played for the Mets
that
happened.
And they did, so there was no protocol back then, but now there's a protocol.
Right.
And speaking of the Mets, John and I, we talk about fantasy baseball. Talk to us about DeGrom and his Cy Young chances this year, John.
It rained. That's what happened. I was ready for a DeGrom special 24 hours ago, and it rained. Now, he's pitching today, right?
Yes,
I believe he is.
Today. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Right, all right. So, we get a doubleheader. I don't get to enjoy it the same way I would have last night.
Okay.
DeGrom is the story of the Mets. Mm-hmm. That's the story of the Mets. Mm-hmm. There's almost nothing else to talk about. They've been performing, this fellow Nimmo's been performing wonderfully.
Very much so.
And Conforto, despite my doubts about his average, does have the big hit in him.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, as a team, what's to say except DeGrom?
Yeah, and it's been so disappointing. And DeGrom's done something, I think, since 1904, having the scoreless under three runs.
I think it's
in
26 starts with under three or less runs. He's you know, it's so funny because he's been their best pitcher from the word go, and I'm glad they never traded him. I want them to extend him. I'm tired of these Met players sticking around for a couple of years and then leaving and watching the fruits of their labor, you know, flourish somewhere else.
The Mets are a dream of the future.
Yes.
The Yankees are a disappointment right now.
I love it. Speaking of a disappointment for many, many years, people have been arguing about Pluto. And now they're saying they're making Pluto great again, and they're saying now Pluto is a planet, John Batchelor?
It's the science fiction planet.
Right.
I've been taught this by the man who headed up the Pluto expedition, New Horizons. Alan Stern came to my studio, and we had a lengthy conversation. I've talked to him over the years.
Amazing.
He was with his co-author, David Grinspoon. They have a book out on Pluto. Pluto is everything you can imagine a planet to be in pieces. It's as if it's been constructed from every other imagining, and it's a binary. It's in a binary with its moon, and they share atmospheres. They share materials back and forth. They're in an orbit that I don't know the exact word. There is an exact word. It doesn't come to me right now. They spin around a central point.
Okay.
The moon doesn't go around Pluto. Pluto and the moon circle each other. So it's got a little bit of everything. It's certainly a planet. There's no one debating it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The revelation of New Horizons when it did the flyby was that we had no idea what Pluto was. We had no expectation of it. Mm-hmm. Everything in our solar system is unique. We don't have doubles of anything. We have strange concoctions of the same materials that make up the Earth. Well, Pluto's got that.
Right.
It's got nitrogen oceans. Frozen nitrogen oceans. It's got water ice that forms into mountains, and it's got a plain, smooth part. You can see it's called the heart of Pluto. You know, a Pluto hearts Earth, because it looks like a heart shape. That tells us that the planet is still geologically active. It's not dead. It's about, I don't remember the number, I think it's like 2 billion. It's a long way from the sun.
For sure.
So it doesn't get energy from the sun. It's getting energy from its own gravity, how it circles, and also taking energy from the solar system, because all the gravity of the solar system interacts with everyone else.
And now you're saying the New Horizons spacecraft, they flew past Pluto in July of 2015.
Right.
So since then, all this information has been readily available to us. But before
they're still pulling it apart.
Right.
Because we're
still analyzing it.
The reports continue to show things we never thought of before, or that don't make sense, that we don't have a model for.
Okay.
That's what Pluto taught us. We have good information about many of the moons of Saturn, thanks to Cassini. And Jupiter now has an orbiter, which is giving us wonderful pictures of the surface of Jupiter. But we do not have anything quite like Pluto, this all mixed up pieces. What's the best example? There's that wonderful country and western song, Coat of Many Colors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's Tammy Wynette, isn't it? I'm not sure. But in any event, it's a story about growing up poor, and Mama constructs a coat out of all the pieces of other coats and all the materials in the house.
Okay.
That's Pluto.
Yeah.
Pluto's a coat. Pluto's a planet of many colors.
I instead of Tammy Wynette, we'll go with Johnny Cash, One Piece at a Time, if you know that song, where he works for Ford and he ends up building himself his own car, but he takes it from like a 67 Fender of this and this.
Yep.
And it's insane. General Motors, excuse me, but it's a great song.
Almost Pluto is like a Thanksgiving dinner the next day. You have all the leftovers from all the different, you know, everybody has like a potluck the next day after a Thanksgiving. So
it's a cornucopia.
Yeah, John Batchelor will bring his mashed potatoes that they made at the Batchelor household. I'll bring the yams. And would that be a fair?
No, Pluto's unique.
Okay.
No, Pluto's fresh. It just wandered in. There's a story in the Norse saga that reminds me of Pluto. The saga's literature is worked on heavily. And at one point, the old grandfather is waiting for the new birth of the child, and the child is shown to him for the first time, and the grandfather looks into the child's eyes and goes, "Who brought a thief into this family?" Right. It's unique. It's fresh. Never seen this before.
Okay.
Well, Pluto's unique like that.
I like
it. It could be. It's something we don't know about.
We don't really Totally understand it.
And the theory that it was an escaped moon, gone. Where did it come from? Why is it not in the plane orbit that all the other planets are? Because it's at degrees out of the plane of the planets. We're all the rest of the planets are like a surface, like a plate. Pluto's not like that. Did it get disturbed by a passing star? Is it the product of another solar system that wandered into our solar system?
Interesting.
I'm just speculating here because it's all new.
And you think about like if a black hole has been around there to make it go away from
Could a comet have done that, or some sort of meteorite or asteroid, something large?
There's a standing theory, and the latest is that they can't find an explanation. There's a standing theory that a large star passed nearby our star and jumbled our planets or jumbled the comets to start the bombardment. There's also a story that we have planets that wander without stars in between, interstellar,
okay,
and get acquired by other planets when they come by. So Pluto could be integral to us. It could be formed out of the original dust, which makes us, or it could be from another star, a visitor from afar. Mm-hmm. We won't know that until and if we get a probe onto the planet, a probe return. And that's nobody's designed that right now.
Well, John Batchelor, thank you so much. This has been A Bite with Batchelor. Listen to John Batchelor. He's on nationally every night. He's on Westwood One. He's locally here in New York City on WABC. John Batchelor, thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen. And if the Mets have an opportunity to acquire a young shortstop named Pluto, go for it.
Yes.
Yes.
And he used to play in Baltimore last year.
Absolutely. And lastly, I will say, I blame Superman for Pluto and where it is on the food chain, because when he threw that elevator out and it had the bomb on there,
that's a good point,
and he released everybody from the Phantom Zone.
Kneel before Zod!
The three supervillains.
General Zod. And,
yes, right. Ursa and Nan.
Of course.
It's his fault. That's why Pluto went that way. Always have to bring it back to pop culture.
We'll talk
always
about that another time,
thank
John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much, John. I mean, how could you say anything else other than that was amazing?
I really don't have anything else to add.
Right?
John comes in, he just knocks it out of the park every time. I could have sat here and listened to him talk about the planets and the universe and the galaxies and everything, even a galaxy far, far away. I mean, seriously, there is just something about that space talk that I become a student again, where I just want to sit there and shut up and take notes. And
the next time
learn.
I'm going to bring a three-ring binder, a trapper keeper, the right whole deal. I'm going to make sure I have an apple for the teacher. The guy takes you to school. You sit there and you ask him questions.
And you know, I mean, he does look like a professor, because if
true
you see what he looks like, he wears the suit with the bow tie.
Yep.
And to
also,
the office.
He's how tall? He's 6'7".
He's got
to
be 6'7".
He says he used to be taller.
Right.
He was a former linebacker, which we found out today. Right. He still didn't give you his favorite football team because he doesn't like to do it because of the CTE and the whole deal.
Sure, absolutely.
And
you know, that's a smart, and that's his prerogative, and that's a very, very noble answer.
Amazing.
If he feels the effects of his playing days in high school and in college, and he just can't bear to watch the NFL because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, good on you.
And he's no Stu Knott. He's a smart guy.
Of course.
Like, he's no joke. And also, you sit here and he pontificates and you're just in awe. And also, he comes in, he drank the chocolate milk. He liked the chocolate milk, but
you know what I like, though? He also comes in prepared. He knows, like, okay, these guys are going to throw some fastballs, they're going to throw some curveballs, and if he, you know, Coach Ferber would be very happy with his approach at the plate.
He keeps his weight back, and he brings his bat through the zone, keeps it in as much as humanly possible, drives it to right field.
I've been watching some of those videos on Instagram. I want to go and hit in the cage with this guy.
Oh, he's amazing.
I don't know why.
Coach Ferber is amazing. Yeah, agreed. Well, fantastic, Lou. That'll do it for this episode of Pop Culture Meltdown.
God, it goes so fast.
It goes so fast. I mean, listen.
I have a question for you.
Yes, please.
Did your mom appreciate my impression of you?
She loved every second of it.
Talking about your family?
She just said, Christopher, that just means you have a good family.
This is true.
That's all she said.
This is
so
true.
So, you know, good upbringing, the whole thing.
This is true. I wasn't even making fun of the family. I was making more fun of you, because I've watched your Instagram videos, and it's just so funny. The star of the Instagram videos, though, is your dog. Your dog is the best part.
That is Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine's
and she,
the best.
I'm telling you right now, Jazzy.
Yeah, Jazzy.
She makes it happen. She is a skipper key, and you know, she's absolutely tremendous. If you want to follow me, it's BillyJoe_27.
Gee, are you a Green Day fan?
Maybe I like Green Day a little bit.
You like Green Day a little bit?
If you search Billy Joe on Instagram, it's Billy Joe and then me right under Billy Joe.
Oh, that's so fun. You can follow me at Lou_Pellegrino on Instagram. And same thing, at Lou_Pellegrino on Twitter as well.
You can also get us on Instagram at Pop Culture Meltdown. Check us out. We're pretty cool. You know? I think we're cool.
I guess so.
My mom says we're cool. Your mom says we're cool.
My mom, yeah. My mom thinks we're losers.
And you know what they say about that?
If your mother
tells you she loves you,
check your sources. If your mother tells you she loves you, check your sources.
And we'll end it on that. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Pop Culture Meltdown.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and find us on Instagram at popculturemeltdown. Find John Bachelor on The John Bachelor Show every weeknight on Westwood One and follow on Twitter at The Bachelor Show. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to dankellyvo.com. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte, our graphic designer Ricky Soto, Tim Einkel with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudzki. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown, Season 1, Episode 1, with your hosts, Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.